welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. Excuse me. I had some spicy spaghetti for dinner. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 108 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is October 9th. We've got some very, very interesting stories for this week, and we've got a really cool guest. So I'm going to speed through these headlines, and we're going to get right to it. So without further ado, Riot Games has announced that they will be closing the Sydney office of their company and dissolving the Oceanic Pro League. The league and the office were established in 2015. In a statement by Managing Director Maltz Wagner and Esports Director Tom Martell, the two make it known that the goals for the Oceanic Pro League have unfortunately not been met. They likewise believe that the market is currently unable to support the league, quote, in its current form. This will put pro players and those overseeing the Sydney office out of work, as the office was established largely to oversee operations of the Pro League. Despite the closing of these two Riot affiliations, there will still be qualifying tournaments held in the Oceania region for 2021. In other closing news, a report published by Bloomberg states that Activision Blizzard is in the process of dissolving an office in Versailles, France, after what is apparently being described as 2 years of turbulence. The team was once operated by Blizzard alone, with about 400 staff members, until about 130 of those jobs were lost due to the restructuring of Activision Blizzard. Additionally, thanks to COVID-19, Blizzard's plan to bring much of the Versailles team to London was put on hold, and now it unfortunately looks like that may not happen at all. While it is unclear about the future of the office, Activision Blizzard said in a statement from a spokesperson at the company that their number one priority is to support employees through, quote, reorganization of its activity. We may expect to hear more about this next week. The case between Epic Games and Apple is still ongoing. In case you do not recall, Epic and Apple are locked in a court case which involves Epic suing Apple for taking their popular game Fortnite off the App Store. This is due to Epic introducing a pay method that eliminated Apple as the middleman and allowing Epic Games to take 100% of a sale. According to a recent court filing made on October 6th, the trial date is set for May 3rd, 2021. We have also learned that there will be no jury for the trial. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are unsure of how the trial will be held, virtually or otherwise. We also know that the date for the pre-trial conference, April 21st, is where those details will likely be figured out. And finally, players of a popular new gacha game, Genshin Impact, are having some complaints about censorship in the video game. According to multiple players, the words Taiwan, Hong Kong, and even Putin, as in Vladimir Putin, have been censored in the game's chat function. The game is developed by Chinese developer miHoYo and had a global release just last week. Players are, of course, pointing to the politics in China, which seem to come down hard on pro-democracy messages, especially with regard to Hong Kong. Earlier this year, Animal Crossing New Horizons was removed from sale on Chinese websites after it was revealed that some players were using it to spread pro-Hong Kong messages. To date, it does not look like the developer miHoYo has commented on the censorship. And those are just some of the biggest headlines this week. If you want to chat about any of those headlines or you have some comments you want to make, tweet at me at KamiJaceGaming or at WKCooldown on Twitter or join us on Discord and let's chat about it. You guys know by now that I'm chat king. I like to speak. It's what I do to you, to anyone who'll listen, honestly. Like, don't call me on the phone though. I don't like speaking on the phone. It's not fun for either party, if I'm honest. I don't want to do it ever. Just text me. It's much easier. You just put words into your phone and then it does it for you. No energy needed. And there's tons of energy in speaking. I'm tired already. But do come to the Discord. Thank you. So we have a guest here today, a wonderful guest. Another Boss Rush Games, not alumni. What's the word I'm looking for?
Maybe like affiliate?
Affiliate, a Boss Rush Games friend. Please welcome Celeste.
Hey, good evening. Thank you so much for asking me to do this. It means a lot.
Thank you for being on. Now it is Celeste, yes.
Yes, yep, Celeste. I don't know if that name is very common, but I'm very happy that there's a video game called Celeste because all those years of not being able to find keychains with my name on it, now there's a video game named Celeste.
I will truly never know what that feels like. No one on this earth knows what it's like to not go or to go to like a convenience store. Or even like back in the day when they had like cool Super Mario keychains with like people's names on it in like Toys R Us. Mm-hmm. My name was never there. My brother's name was there. My mom's name was there. Even my grandmother's name was there. Mine? Nope.
It's heartbreaking as a child. You feel left out.
Yeah. And I still do. All these years. I'll never find one. Thanks so much for being on. So let's talk about the podcast that you do. Which are?
Well, I'm with Nintendo Pow Block, which is part of the Boss Rush Games family. And I've also been taking the 1v1 interviews on as I'm kind of spearheading those, taking a little bit of the responsibility off Corey's plate. And I've been really enjoying them. I don't know if we've done one with you yet, huh?
No, I don't think there has been a one-on-one. Or maybe there has been. I think I did it with Ed. I think I did one with Ed. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So you have been initiated then.
Yes. I've been on a few times. We did a Pride panel for Boss Rush Games.
That's true.
I was on that. And I think I've done one other episode aside from the 1v1. But yeah, I love Boss Rush Games. You guys are great.
Oh, thank you. I just found out about them in June when Megan reached out to me because I'm also with another Zelda podcast as well. So if anybody likes Zelda, that's a fun one. Mm-hmm. I'm the blog editor and a contributing writer, and I contribute to podcast episodes whenever I can.
Very cool. Very cool. So you are a Nintendo aficionado.
As much as possible, please don't take away my geek card, but I have not played every major Nintendo franchise.
Are there some that just don't grab you?
I don't know if it's that or just as I've gotten older, this is going to sound so lame. I don't have as much time to play as I used to.
You know what? No one has time to play video games. Once you become an adult, like you cannot play video games anymore. It's just a rule that is bad, and when I'm president,
please become the president. I would like that. I think you'd be a soothing touch on this nation.
Oh, you know, don't say that to me. I don't want the responsibility, but also we as adults need more time for video games.
You know, and
I'm willing to run on that ticket.
Do you ever feel this way too? After a long day, sometimes you want a mindless video game.
Yeah, absolutely, I do. Yeah, like something to kind of, I don't want to say dumb you down, but like just to like turn off the brain and just go.
Something relaxing, something that, like for example, I love Resident Evil. I really love the lore. Mm-hmm. I haven't played all of them, but I've watched a lot of Let's Plays. But that is not a game I can play on a weekday when I have work the next day because I have to be at work for seven. Yeah, and I don't want the adrenaline rushing and preventing me from falling asleep.
Sure, absolutely.
But to answer, I've never played Metroid before, and I'm not super into sci-fi. I guess I just never had the opportunity to play any of them. Do you like the Metroid series?
See, I haven't had much time to play them as well. So, like, I've played, I think, one on the 3DS, which was alright. It was, like, a good experience, but I wasn't, like, enamored with the game enough to kind of continue the series, but I know that that's a favorite for people. Like, you know, we're still waiting on the next Metroid sequel, and people are really excited to hear that there might be one coming, and so on and so forth. But it's not really something that I was, like, beholden to. Whereas, like, I buy every single Pokemon game that comes out. I love Pokemon. I love Super Mario, so I try and keep up with that. It's just one of those, it's, I guess Metroid's just one of those series like you where it's just, I guess I'm not super into sci-fi as well. It's not that I'm not into it. It's just not into it enough to pursue Metroid.
I guess. I think a lot of times you kind of gravitate towards these different series and you kind of stick with them. Mm-hmm. And with your limited time, you kind of know what you're getting into with, say, a Zelda, a Pokemon, right. Mario. So you just, I don't know if you do this, but I tend to rewatch a lot of the same shows at night in the background, like Frasier, Golden Girls, whatever. Sure. Do you do that with shows, or are you constantly looking for the next show to pique your interest?
I'm always a new kind of person, like a new experience kind of person. So if I do go back and watch a show, it's like, you know, months or years later, I haven't seen it in a while, and I need like a refresher on what's going on so I can like be into that fandom again. So I guess the short answer is no.
Well, are there any shows that you're watching right now that you recommend?
I watch so much anime.
That's cool.
No one come for me, but I had to, for some reason, watch, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And that show is terrible because the characters are terrible, right? And they, like, I think of myself as fairly liberal and I'm very, like, open-minded, but they play the most closed-minded, awful, like, homophobic, racist, transphobic characters ever. But something about watching, like, horrible, deplorable people just tickles my brain a little bit. So, I had to watch it, and I watched it all the way through, and I had a great time, and I'm sorry to say that.
No, I think that's the whole point of the show, is to make these caricatures of awful people and make them look like absolute fools. It's,
and I maybe they exist. You might know them.
I think I do know them. It's, I love how it's a show about awful people, because I'm like you. My boyfriend would laugh at just their antics because they're just so ridiculous. And finally I watched it. Oh, gosh. I don't know if you've seen the episode where two of the guys buy this house together and they're just so mean to their neighbor. Oh, my gosh, yes.
That was actually one of my favorites. I love that episode so much.
Dog passes away.
Yes, I love that episode.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it's one of those things where if I do watch TV, it's like we had one of my favorite podcasters and improv comedians, Adam Rafai, was on, and I spoke to him about like Billy on the Street, which is a comedy show.
Yes, Billy Eisner.
Yes, I love him so much, and I wish I could like embody him, but I'm also not the type of person to like hassle people on the street. Like, but that's what I liked about the show, was that he was like willing to be that person. And it was kind of inspiring. And I'll have more information about this later, but we have a new podcast on the way. Kind of inspired by Billy Eichner, Billy on the Street. And is still video game related. So lucky you, listener, you get to get two doses of me talking about video games. Ain't you lucky?
Well, congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
That's awesome. I love seeing people passionate about things, because I find it's very easy as you get older, especially, and your responsibilities grow, whether that be with a family, a job, just a house, anything, whatever it is. You can lose sight of what brought light into your life when you were younger. And I think it's really important to have something outside of your responsibilities.
That is true, which is why in my presidential platform, if you look at page 200, it allocates enough time to step away from your job, your children, and everything else to play video games.
You sound like that guy on Twitter. What is it, like Ace for President or something?
Oh, yeah, that guy. That was a wonderful Twitter. I love that.
I love parodies like that.
Yes. We have fly parodies now because of a certain debate.
Yes, I saw that the fly on Pence's head started following me, and I was like, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So what have you been playing this week? Let's talk about that.
This week was one of those weeks where I felt tired every single day. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm just tired from the news of constant hurricanes. I don't know if I'm tired of just the depression of 2020. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not actively thinking about it, just weighs on you. So I have to say, I'm going to sound like everybody else, but Animal Crossing this week, especially with the October update, has been my joy.
Very nice.
I love Halloween. I love October. And in fact, on this past Sunday, one of my friends lives in South Carolina, and we were able to visit. That's how we catch up. We visit each other's islands, not towns. Mm-hmm. And we do the Nintendo voice chat. And just, it was so awesome. Like, it really brightened my whole week.
Very nice.
To do that. I know that sounds, you know, a little maybe Pollyanna-ish. I don't know.
No, that's wonderful. We love just kind of getting together with friends and playing a nice video game. Not like some of you out there deciding to reach out to your friends and family and loved ones for Among Us or some competitive stuff.
Well, especially since a lot of my friends are of the age where they either have families, children, they live away. And right now, I don't really feel comfortable gathering with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So those little moments brighten my life. And I really love Clubhouse games. I don't know if you picked it up.
Clubhouse games.
It has like 51 worldwide classics like chess, checkers. Hmm. It has like an Uno type game, Yahtzee, darts, bowling. It's not a huge title, but it has all of these fun party games you can play by yourself or with friends.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. So nice. I've been enjoying that. Just very relaxing games. And then this weekend, again, because I cannot play games that make my adrenaline get too intense, I'm going to complete the game Soma.
Oh.
I don't know if you've played that one.
That's a spooky one, I hear.
Yes, and in 2017, they added a safe mode, so I've been playing it on that mode.
Ah, very good.
What about you? What have you been playing?
Oh, no, the question has been turned on me.
I know. It was only, again, a matter of time.
Let's see. I've decided to pick up the Baldur's Gate 3 Early Access, mostly because the character creator is really good.
I have been loving your character creations that you've been posting on Twitter.
Oh, thank you. It's so I've also been playing Final Fantasy 14, and as some people know, I'm a gigantic, huge nerd, and one of the things I enjoy doing is making characters to kind of roleplay as with certain other people. Not the nasty kind, the good kind, where you like embody the character and like you're going on adventures that are outside this main story and blah 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 blah. So I've been posting on another Twitter I have, you know, just pictures of those characters. But then someone was like, Baldur's Gate has a really good character creator, so I'm been making characters on that too, just for fun. I haven't really actually started playing the game yet. I've just been kind of rolling through different characters, seeing what looks good and stuff like that. But yeah, those two games, Final Fantasy 14 and Baldur's Gate 3, have been taking up most of my time this week.
Were you a big or are you a big Sims person?
I've never really been big on The Sims, but I did play The Sims 4 almost every day for, I want to say, a few months in college. Largely because I decided to make two of my roommates and my boyfriend as characters. And my one roommate and my boyfriend ended up hooking up in The Sims. And when I told them this, my boyfriend kind of laughed. But then my other roommate, who I miss dearly, was like, why would you do that, Dan? And I was like, it's a video game, you stupid.
It's like a dream. Like if you have a dream about your significant other cheating on you and it doesn't really happen, but right. You're mad at them anyway.
Yeah, he's like, why would you do that? I'm like, it's a game. Don't be stupid. But yes, I do love The Sims, though.
I was asking because of the character customization in Baldur's Gate that you've been sharing. So I was wondering if you had played The Sims, if that's what you spend most of your time on, is customizing your little Sims.
Any game with character customization, I'm in there for like a day before I actually start playing the game. Because it's just making someone like either really gorgeous or really gruesome, depending on the game, is just a blast. It's a lot of fun.
Now, Baldur's Gate is one I've never played. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I can't. And that's because I don't really know much about it myself. Oh. I actually picked it up at the recommendation of some friends who have been talking about it. And it's very new to me. I've never been much of a D&D or Pathfinder type person. So it's all very, like, very, very new to me, and I'm just kind of getting around to actually playing it, so it's interesting, though. It's lots of fantasy stuff, which I like, but, like, Western kind of European-ish fantasy, and it's nice, though. It's very good.
What is your favorite game of that genre that you've played, you would say?
So far, it's Final Fantasy XIV. It's just very relaxing. I kind of like the more anime aesthetic video game or MMO video games. It's just very, very nice. Very nice to play. I have tons and tons of friends on it. So I keep up with them and they keep up with me and we all have a good time.
That's awesome. So you also like to play some games with friends?
Oh, yeah. It's not that I seldom play single-player games, but it's more fun to have friends around.
Especially right now, mm-hmm. I think.
For sure.
I'm so happy we are, not that we're experiencing this, but that it's now and not like 1700.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons, mm-hmm. I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. It's such a strange time we're in, but... As long as there's friends, we'll persevere.
And video games are getting their time in the limelight right now.
Yeah, they are. The Switch has only just come back in stock, like, full time.
Yeah. Do you own a Switch?
I do.
So, you're lucky then, because there are a lot of people who are still seeking them. I don't know how they're going to have them out in time for the holidays.
Well... We shall see. I know the PS5 is probably going to be gone, which is what I wanted to get sooner rather than later, but didn't have the dollar bills for that. So
it's a lot of money to drop in one.
It is. Yeah. It certainly is. We'll get there. It's all right. I'll have a console this time. I will know what I'm talking about this time. I won't go 2 to 3 years with PS4 and Xbox news and. You guys will have to hear me lament about how I don't have consoles. So, there you go.
It's hard to keep up, I find.
Sometimes, yeah, if you don't have the dollars. Especially if you don't have the dollars.
Oh, my car needs new tires. Mm-hmm. Oh, something broke in the house.
Oh, no, the cats need to go to the vet and they need what? $1,000 worth of work done? Okay. I guess that's where that's money going.
So you have cats, too?
I have two cats.
Me too!
Beowulf and Leia.
Oh, Beowulf and Leia. Those are epic names. They must be epic kitty cats.
In my room, playing with shadows. Because that's what she likes to do.
So cute. I love cats. I love them dearly. I like dogs, but they're a lot of work.
I'm much more of a dog person. And
really?
I truly am. But that's because I also like, you know, going for walks and mm-hmm. all that stuff. But yeah, that's where we are now with cats and the work in which they need. We are going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will get back to the main stories for this week. So stick around and we'll be back with more show.
Greetings, PodQuesters. I am Colt Hawkins, famous bard of the podcast Intelligence Check. Intelligence check is set in a Tolkien-esque world where our party members are forced by fate down the road of adventure. Literally, fate is physically forcing us. We keep trying to walk away, but the damn thing never lets up. Now I know what you're saying. Another D&D podcast? But trust me, I'm worth listening to. I mean, we're worth listening to. And doesn't this accent make you just want to trust me? Intelligence check celebrates the camaraderie of lifelong friends, joking around a table while remaining true to their characters and story. We bring you short, bi-weekly adventures full of action, banter, too many tentacles, and a naked dwarf. Oh, dear God, someone please put some clothes on that dwarf. So roll an intelligence check, because the show you're listening to now is awesome, but you'll need something to hold you over while you wait for new episodes. Oh, come on, is that really the tagline we're using?
This probably isn't really worth noting, but during my final radiation tests of the day, I saw a blip out in the opposite direction of Ra. It's a bright light with the pinpoint clarity of a star, but obviously it's not a star since it wasn't there yesterday. Or even a few hours ago. Also, it's moving. Charlotte's taking this new development with all the grace of a garbage fire. She barged in on her hydraulic arm while I was checking Ra's radiation emissions earlier and started reciting the entire Caldwell Enterprise's emergency preparedness manual to me from start to finish. I took that to mean that she thinks the incoming light is a matter of some concern. I told her to be more optimistic, that it might not be coming directly toward us, that it could simply be a mirage, that she technically doesn't have a death to fear, but she just started reciting the manual all over again from the beginning. So I wedged a fallen tree branch up into the hydraulic tracks to block her from exiting the glasshouse. Season 1 of Girl in Space launches September 18th, 2017, with a new episode every 2 weeks. Subscribe using your favorite podcast app or stream episodes at girlinspacepodcast.com. It's all here in space.
Hello, welcome back to the show. So, we've got two main stories for tonight. The first is, of course, we have to talk about it, right? Because I have a Nintendo friend here. The Nintendo Treehouse event. So, during a recent Nintendo Treehouse event, hosted, of course, by Nintendo, we got to look at some exclusive new footage from two upcoming video games, and perhaps very much asked for video games, Pikmin 3 Deluxe and Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Both games showed off different features of each game, like a co-op story mode for Pikmin 3, and a preview of characters and abilities for the Age of Calamity video game. Did you get a chance to look at the videos?
I did, and again, Pikmin is another one that I rented the first one from GameCube in the early 2000s, and it's I think it looks beautiful. It's just not a series that I've kept up with, but Age of Calamity, that is one I am very excited to play, and I did skip Pikmin and go straight to Age of Calamity.
Well, very quick on Pikmin, because I know some people out there and truly love Pikmin. I always wanted to play it when I was younger, but I never got around to getting it, and I never got around to getting the sequel. It just never, it never manifested for me. And so now that it's coming to the Switch and I have my chance, I'm here with you, my gamer friends. I'm here with you. I'm very excited for Pikmin. I have not played the demo yet. The demo came out on October 7th, but I plan on doing that. I plan on getting the full game on October 30th when it releases. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to, it's got a co-op story mode, so I'm looking forward to playing with some friends. I'm looking forward to a competitive mode, which it apparently has, which sounds amazing, called Bingo Battle, which I can only guess what that's going to be like in actuality. But I'm very excited to play this all with you, and I'm looking forward to it. That being said, Hyrule Warriors looks amazing.
Are you a Zelda fan as well?
I am. I'm kind of a new Zelda fan, though.
Never too late.
I played the Nintendo 64 games. I missed out on literally every other game until Breath of the Wild. But I absolutely adored Breath of the Wild. I loved the re-release of
Is it Link's Awakening?
Thank you, that one. I truly loved that game, and actually my boyfriend watched me play it, and it was kind of like a little bonding for us, because we would get up in the morning, and I'd make breakfast, and then immediately go play that, and we'd just kind of sit on the couch and play Zelda games. And he watched me also play Breath of the Wild, so Zelda's one of those games where we've bonded over.
It's a beautiful way to bond, and I love that you would make breakfast and start with Zelda. That's such a great way to start the day.
I think so, too. I love Zelda. Yeah. But this is definitely, I think, one of those games where it's like, I'm assuming it has a co-op or a multiplayer mode, and I'm thinking it's one of those games where you get in with your, like, toughest, best playing friends, and you just go to town on this game.
That's going to be fun. I played the one for Wii U, and it was cool. It was fun. But and like a lot of people, I'm especially excited for this one since it seems to be an official prequel to Breath of the Wild. And that's a little depressing, too, because you know what's going to happen.
No. Oh. Please tell us.
Oh, you... Okay, did you finish Breath of the Wild?
Oh, sorry. You're right. Yes, I do know what happens.
Okay, I was like, oh, no, I'm about to spoil your whole...
No, yes, okay. I do absolutely know what happens.
Okay, yes, it's just... But I love character development, and I love that we saw Robbie and Pura.
Right, we're gonna get so much lore from this prequel. We're really gonna understand what came before.
Did you see the part with Impa's fighting?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are very excited for Impa, especially because she basically is a clone of her granddaughter, which you meet in Breath of the Wild. So it just looks like. One big lore bomb in a kind of Dynasty Warriors-esque play style.
Yeah, and I'm sure you remember seeing the different frog statues around Kakarika Village. I love that one of her moves is to summon this giant frog to smash the enemy.
Yes, it's looking good. And I think all of the characters also get access to the Sheikah Slate. And they get to use kind of combo moves based on the stasis and the bomb and all that stuff. That it looks like it's gonna. It looks like a lot of love was put into this game, and also like a lot of thought so far in so far as the combat of the game. And it looks like a lot of fun, and I'm really excited for it.
Me too.
Definitely going to be one of those games where I get like my more local friends to kind of play with me too, because they all just bought Switches and they're like, what can we play together? We're so far apart now. And so I'm like, okay, well, this will be something good we can play together.
Yes. Yes. I'm so excited. These are keeping this year on the more positive side in some aspects.
Yes. Nintendo knows how to roll out some information too, because you know we've known that these games were coming for a while, and the Treehouse just kind of wraps a neat little bow on it just before their releases.
I also love that name Treehouse.
It's cute. It's very cute.
I never had a treehouse, but I would see them in movies. Did you ever have a treehouse?
No, I'm from New York City, where we don't know what a tree is.
Lucky you, though. You have amazing food and such a variety of food over there.
That is indeed very true.
But I just would see movies of kids are going to scramble into a treehouse with their friends and play games and hang out. So
I not think us. Not us. Yeah, but that is a good name for it. Nintendo's got good marketing. I wish I could work for them. If you're listening, Mr. Nintendo, please hire me. That's how it works. Well, yeah, so we've got two cool games coming. Pikmin 3 comes out October 30th, and Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, I believe, is November 19th. So, just before Thanksgiving. So check those games out. Be sure to look them up. For our last bit of news this evening, it's a little more nuanced, so... Yeah, put your thinking pants on, because it's time to really get those gears going. It's also more kind of big technology news, but it could have an effect on your video games at some point. So, without further ado, the House Antitrust Committee in the United States has filed a report which states that Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google have monopoly power and recommends breaking them up. The report concluded that each of the companies hold a huge amount of power over a different section of the industry. Apple for software distribution on iOS, Google for general online search, Facebook for the social networking market, and Amazon, which holds much of their monopoly power over other third-party sellers and suppliers. These companies, as we've seen, have begun to sort of bleed into the gaming markets as well. Facebook, which has Facebook Gaming. Facebook has also had games on their platforms for many years. We just spoke about the end of Farmville on the last episode. Amazon, which has not only Twitch now, but also has a new cloud gaming service, Luna, which is on the way, which we also spoke about last episode. Apple, naturally, with the iOS market, and Google, not only for their own Play Store, but also for Stadia, their own cloud gaming service. So, I mean, it's weird because, first of all, that it took the House committee this long to finally say, yeah, these are monopolies, something most of us have probably known and or came to that conclusion, like, without a big report. It's weird that they would say it now and not like admit that earlier. But with that being said, it could potentially have a like side effect on the video game industry. For example, especially with Google Stadia, you have so many games that are trying to be kind of exclusive with Google Stadia. If they end up kind of breaking up this monopoly, does that affect Google Stadia? Likewise for Twitch, if Amazon has to kind of break up their monopoly, what happens to Twitch? Are we going to see another Mixer situation where Mixer kind of goes the way of the dodos, as they say, and we don't get streamers no mo?
That's a sad world.
Yeah. No more streamers. All your podcasts are gonna be on Facebook Gaming now. Not that this one is ever streamed, but you know.
that still blows my mind about Mixer.
Yeah, it's it was kind of a shock, but I think it was a long time coming for that one. Any thoughts on this?
You know, with monopolies. That's such a... I'm not an economics or business person, so mm-hmm. there's probably so many nuances that I don't have a clue about, so many Absolutely. Legal things. But if you break up a monopoly, I mean, that helps to drive competition. It's good for the consumers. It's possibly mm-hmm. good for the employees because they can argue for better wages, better working conditions, or, right. hey, I'm going to go to your competitor, unless they have to sign a non-compete clause. And ugh.
Right.
But
there's definitely some nuance there. But I like the idea that it could open up the market to more competitors, because yes. then, especially in the case of like Amazon with Twitch and what's the other one? Facebook Gaming. We just said it. It could allow more streaming services into the market and thereby more variety in your content, in you know, what you're consuming.
Exactly. That's how better products are made too, because if somebody has a problem with Twitch or whatever they're using, someone else can pay attention to that and make their service better.
Right. Absolutely. And there are some companies out there trying to do that. There's the caffeine service, which I think some people may have heard of. I think it's caffeine.tv. We haven't heard much from them as of late, but there were also the Brime people, who I think are still kicking around out there somewhere. The Lunar TV people, who I think are still kicking around out there. So, I mean, there are either already services out there that are trying to compete or enter the market. But, I mean, when you have giants like Amazon and Facebook controlling that market more or less, it's going to be difficult to really make a break in.
Mm-hmm. I know. I have to be honest, I don't think about video games with Facebook. I mean, I know they had Farmville and other things, but I've had a Facebook since 2007 when I mm-hmm. was about to graduate high school, and actually this year I deactivated it. I'm not using it anymore for personal use.
It doesn't feel necessary.
No, and I guess I'm thinking, when I think of Facebook, I associate it with all of my older relatives being mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that for the most part, we are starting to see Facebook be aligned with and kind of thought of as a couple of things. One, a place for, you know, older generations to get on and do their social media. Two, a place for conspiracy theorists and for people to spread some misinformation. And lastly, a place where you might try to keep in touch with family, but I mean, again, that goes back to just like the older generation. And like you said, I don't think I would ever associate Facebook with gaming, even if they do have a streaming platform. I think that that's them kind of chomping at the bit, right? Trying to stay relevant, trying to keep what audience they have, and also maybe try to gain a new one vis-a-vis video gamers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They just want a piece of that pie. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know if you're interested in the beauty community at all.
Insofar that I know that there's some drama with it sometimes, and I kind of like pick at the drama sometimes.
Really?
I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not. No. It's it just kind of reminds me how with the beauty community, it seems like so many celebrities want a piece of that pie too. They want mm-hmm. their own beauty lines.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely a good point. And I think we can speak to a lot of these companies when we say that, because for the most part, again, I never really associated Google with video games, aside from whatever's on their app or their Google Play Store. But now they want, you know, they're pushing really hard for Stadia. They've been pushing really hard for Stadia. There's now Stadia exclusive video games. So they are really heavily, heavily invested in the video game market now. Same with Amazon, with Twitch, and now Luna, and they've also been trying to make their own video games, and you know, market it on Steam and so on. So the idea that these huge, gigantic $1 billion, million, or $1 trillion even tech companies want to like also muscle in on video games, right? Mm-hmm. Just like step in and take over a little bit. It's jarring almost, and worrying a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know, so many concerns, and it's hard to say, because when I was younger, I never ever pictured there'd be drama associated with makeup.
Right. Yeah.
And now with video games, I don't know. Is it because we're getting older too, and we're seeing the dark that could side be. Of the world? I don't know. That Has could it always be. Been this way?
I argue that because we have access to the internet, things seem a little bit more worrisome, right? So you have access to social media where news travels like at the speed of light, really. Mm-hmm. Terrible idea, misinformation, rather. It's all kind of there, right at your fingertips. Now we have, of course, smartphones, and you'll get alerts of some horrible news story, and it just kind of happens that way. But I think if we had a little less access to it, like if our phones were still flip phones with no internet access, then we might be a little healthier of mind.
I agree. I struggle, even though I don't have Facebook anymore. I have Twitter and Instagram, and I have I use Discord. I need to join your Discord too. Mm-hmm. And I find at night my mind can't settle down. I have trouble concentrating. I don't have ADD or ADHD, but I find that availability, like you were saying, that like this, I don't know if it's a fear of missing out, but just I find myself automatically grabbing my mm-hmm. phone while I'm playing a game or while I'm reading a book. And that book and game, that's way more interesting than anything right. I'm going to find.
I'm kind of a news junkie as a whole. And I mean, a whole part of the reason for this show, obviously, is because I like video games, I like news, so I just kind of smash them together, and here we are. I have an alert set up for, like, every time, like, IGN or PC Gamer or anyone tweets some video game news that I think I might need to see. Mm-hmm. But then if you think about, like, journalists who are out there, and I've done tons of journalism work, who need to keep up with, like, the president and other political figures or, you know, just public figures in general, mm-hmm. they have to probably have those on for every time they tweet, every time someone else publishes a story about some or about one of these figures. They have to, like, get an alert for that and keep up with those alerts and keep up with those people. It's almost like tenfold, you know?
Yeah.
I can only imagine how awful it is. And I mean, for me, it's just video games, so I'm just kind of keeping up with whatever is happening in the video game sphere. But if you broaden that to, like, news overall, my phone would be dead by, you know, before I wake up.
Gosh, I worry about the burnout. So if you've written things on different articles, have you experienced burnout before from that type of cycle?
Yes and no. A lot of the stories that I did locally, especially, were usually events or protests or marches.
Oh, okay.
If that's your beat, and that kind of was mine, it can get a little tiring. And I imagine even if you're a video game journalist, it can get kind of tiring to work the Riot beat all the time or work the IGN beat all the time and kind of keep up with those people when you really want to go write about God knows what. So it definitely can be, and I think many others would say the same.
Yeah, I worry about people's, again, this is a common thing of people's mental health, because mm-hmm. as I've gotten older, I've come to really value my downtime.
I think that's something we're all kind of learning how to manage and figure out.
It's hard. Mm-hmm.
This goes back to the being an adult thing. Who wants to do that?
There are pros to being an adult. If you guys are listening and you're significantly younger, don't let us scare you. It's nice to be your own boss in some ways. Yes.
Alrighty. Well, that's that story. We'll keep an eye on this story because, first of all, I want to see if our U.S. government actually does anything to break up these monopolies. And also, I'd like to see what the response is from these companies. Apple is right now embroiled again, as we said in the headlines, in a case over how they've treated Epic Games, and this is probably really good for Epic Games, for them to be labeled wholeheartedly by the U.S. government as a monopoly. It's always really interesting to see what Mark Zuckerberg has to say for himself. Likewise with Google. I mean, I only ever use Google, but I can't imagine them being gone, honestly. So it's going to be really interesting to see if anything happens and what the consequences are going forward. So with all that out of the way, it's time to get to the recommendations. So
yeah,
as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you, the guest, give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Well, there's a game coming out from Whitethorn Games called Lake. Have you seen any buzzing about that?
I don't think I have. Please tell me more.
So we had a women's panel for Boss Rush Games, and we had the community manager, BU of BU TV, on it. And we've been keeping up with her, and she shared some information on this game called Lake, where you play as a woman named Meredith. She takes a break from her career in the big city to deliver mail in her hometown, and this takes place in 1986. So I think it takes place in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. So it looks absolutely gorgeous with this forest. And they had a really cool and clever, I call it a marketing idea, where you could order a pin of her little mail truck, and along with it came some postcards with stamps on them, and you could mail postcards to your friends.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that cute? So
that's wonderful.
I sent some to my friends, and I was like, this is really clever, a game about a postal worker, and I'm sending postcards.
That's wonderful.
So I'm looking forward to that game. It's supposed to be coming out in 2020 on PC and consoles, so that's one that appeals to me. And like I said earlier, I've been playing Clubhouse games. If you want something, if you have family members in your house or you have some friends that you feel safe mingling with right now, you can bowl, you can play darts. There's a like a Dr. Mario style game on there. It's so much fun. I mean, 51 games, there has to be at least one of them you like in there.
Absolutely.
And Animal Crossing, of course. And I've said this many times, but one of my games of the year is Coffee Talk.
Coffee Talk? Please tell us about that one.
You are a barista in a coffee shop in Seattle, and the soundtrack is very soothing, that chill wave, and the patrons are fantasy creatures. So at some point in time, fantasy creatures have mixed with humans. There are fairies, there are succubi, vampires, elves, werewolves, but they work humdrum jobs like mundane. The rest of us.
I love stuff like that.
If you seem like you, since you said that you would cover protests and things like that, I think you would enjoy this because it, in a very clever way, they touch on real world topics like racism. They touch on burnout from jobs, especially with developers. They touch on acceptance in relationships, like if you're dating someone of a different race, different religion, whatever, how your family, whether that your family accepts that person, deals with xenophobia, but in a very soothing manner. They accomplished it somehow.
Very good.
Yes. What very about good. What about you? What have you been playing, or what do you recommend?
Before I do that, I just want to say that I've just been kind of glancing at Lake while. First of all, you enjoy games set in Oregon.
Apparently so. I've only been to the farthest west. I've been to San Diego.
It's Lake and Coffee Talk both take place in Oregon, and I was like, oh.
I would love to visit. I would love to visit the Pacific absolutely. Northwest. Have you ever been?
No. No. Oh wait. I'm sorry. You said Seattle for Coffee Talk. That's Washington, not Oregon.
That's okay. They're close.
They are close. But I guess you like Pacific Northwest games, I should say.
Oh yeah, another one I like is Gone Home, which takes place in
that. Pacific. That's one I do know about that one. Yes.
Yes.
I think it's interesting that the game seems to think it would be relevant to me on Steam because I've played Death Stranding and Nier Automata.
Delivery games.
Yes. I find that very funny. But I will definitely check this out. As for a game I recommend, I'm actually going to recommend Baldur's Gate 3, and here's why. I have not yet played the full story that is allowed to you. And the reason I say it that way is because it's currently in early access. And I know that turns a lot of people off at first. However, I will say that I think it's important to play that game, or at least watch somebody play it or something, if only, and I say this very pointedly, if only to see how to properly do representation so far as character creation is concerned. Mm-hmm. The way that you can make black people in that game is phenomenal. The settings that you get, or the options you get, are very good. The one critique I have is that there are about maybe 2 to 4 black hairstyles, or specifically quote-unquote black hairstyles, depending on which race you pick. But it is phenomenal work that they've done. I'm sure that that is part of the reason why it's only in early access. But I think it's a phenomenal game. I think it's a phenomenal character creator. And I think it really shows you how and why people like shout from the rooftops, like about seeing themselves or seeing someone of a version of them in a video game like Baldur's Gate, or any other video game for that matter. So I would say check that out. And if you want to wait until it's out of early access, that's fine too. Just, you know, just at some point check it out. And I think you'll really enjoy it. And I think it's worth checking out, if only for those reasons. And I know it's kind of superfluous, but that's truly how I feel at this point.
I think those are important reasons.
Yes. I think so too.
think about the first time you see someone who looks like you or reminds you of yourself in media. That's one of the reasons I loved Dixie Kong so much when I was a little girl, because there weren't a lot of female protagonists in video games.
I can't quite relate to it, but I've heard stories about people who were very excited at the end of like the first Metroid game to find out that Samus Aran was a woman underneath all the armor. So, I mean, it does matter, and it's very exciting to people when they see that kind of representation and that kind of just beauty in video games. So check out Baldur's Gate and check out the first ever Metroid, because we've never played it, but we sure you'll play it. Okay, and of course, to finally finish off this episode, please let us know where and if you want to be found on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at FairyCrypt, FairyCrypt. I'm also with Boss Rush Games. Their show, Nintendo Pow Block, is on every Monday night live, and the recording comes out on Wednesdays. And I'm also with another Zelda podcast. We have monthly blog articles with bonus ones thrown in sometimes, and you can find another Zelda podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Excellent. Go check those out. You'll have a great time.
Thank you. All right.
As always, you can find me at KamiJace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts. Please do that. I don't want to beg anymore. Just do it for me. You'll get a nice thank you note in the mail. Not really, but one can dream. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And be sure to support your favorite charities and support the show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow them at Doghouse Corgian. That's DoghouseCorgian on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That's all for the weekly cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
And I'm Celeste.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys.